You know, I wrote that little Real Purpose of Life track over 50 years ago. One night I'm in the dorms talking to a student, and I said, "What are you planning to do?" He said, "Well, I want to graduate." "Well, after you graduate, what do you want to do?" "Well, I want to get a job." "After that, what?" "Well, I want to get married." "And then what?" "Well, I hope we can have some kids." "Then what?" "Well, I guess I'll send them to school." I said, "Now, let me see if I got this straight. You want to graduate, you want to get married, you want to have kids, you want to send them to school, and then eventually retire and die. Is that right?" I said, "Is that all there is to life?" He said, "Well, can you tell me what is the purpose of life?" I said, "Yeah, I think I can. Wrote a little book about that. Be delighted to share it with you." Really, I'm serious. There are tracks over there. Now, those Real Purpose of Life tracks, the last time we published them, it cost 29 something cents a piece. It's got a nice front on it, which I think it's not as easy for people to throw away. And we just ordered 6,000 Billy Graham tracks. They're 20 cents a piece. But now, if you don't have money, they'll take your credit card over there. But get you some tracks before you leave. And I think you ought to have several kinds. And by the way, the bridge illustration, the NAVS use, it's over there. You can get those. I like to have several different kind of tracks because sometimes I go to the same people. I'm going to keep handing them tracks because I want them to know Jesus. Now, what I want to speak to you this evening is that the mandate is very clear. Make disciples. Now, you know what we call the Great Commission is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. When Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." So he has all authority has been given. And he says, "You go, make disciples. And you baptize them and you teach them." Now notice, you teach them to obey. And one of the real problems we have in our church is we do a lot of teaching, but teaching to obey is training. It's not just you hear the truth, but you put that truth into your life. And he said, "Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth." Now, it's interesting. He starts out by saying, "I have all authority," and ends up by saying, "I'm going to be with you." Now, let me just promise you, as you try to make disciples, the powerful God that made this whole universe has all the power in the world, and he says nothing's impossible for him, is going to be with you. Now, it's interesting, too. Most people, when they talk about the Great Commission, they start with verse 18. I like to back it up to verse 16, because Jesus had told the women after he rose from the dead, he said, "You tell the disciples to go meet me in Galilee." And in verse 16, it says that there were 11 men there. Jesus came up and spoke to the 11 men. When he gave the Great Commission, he gave it to 11 men. Now, some people we know at one time, in 1 Corinthians 15, 500 people saw him at one time. Some people think, well, there were others there that saw it. That may be true. I don't know how many, but I know one thing. It said in verse 16 that there were 11 men came up to him, and they were so startled, I think, by seeing him, and it said they even had some doubts. So here were these. He gave the commission to 11 men, and he told those 11 men to go into all the earth, make disciples of all the nations. Now, let me ask you, how are 11 men going to do that? They aren't. And they knew that, and he knew that, and he told them how it was going to work when he gave the Great Commission. He says, you teach them, when people become Christians, you teach them to observe all I commanded you. Now, what did he just finish commanding them? Make disciples. So what are we supposed to do when people become Christians? Teach them to make disciples. Now, I don't think you wait for 5 years and then you spring it on them. I think it's good to let them know up front. God wants to use you to make disciples. Like that lady I told you about this morning. She's a disciple maker. Now, you might say, well, not like we normally think. Maybe, I don't know, but I know one thing. She's taking step one. She's evangelizing. And that's the first thing. A person has to become a Christian before we're ever going to make a follower of Jesus out of them. And so we are to work with new Christians to help them become disciples. Now, it's so interesting what happened in the New Testament. As those people began to preach in Jerusalem, and the scriptures say, the people said to them, you have filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. You've filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. Well, persecution came, and it says in Acts 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. If you read the context also, you'll find that the apostles, the full-time Christian workers, stayed in Jerusalem. The common, ordinary laymen were scattered everywhere, and they went everywhere preaching the word. And it's interesting, if you follow that through, that's Acts 8:4. Look in Acts 8:19. Some of these people, common, ordinary Christians, were scattered, and some of them went to Antioch. And they began to preach the word in Antioch. Now, they had to go to Antioch. They were just common, ordinary people. They had to get jobs in Antioch. They had to find ways to live in Antioch. But why were they there? They were there preaching the word. They preached it in Jerusalem till they drove them out of there. And then they go, they scatter, and some of them wind up in Antioch, and they begin to preach the word. And it said many were added to the Lord. Many people in Antioch came to the Lord because these common, ordinary Christians were sharing the word. Now, Paul comes in, preaches, he moves on. But these Christians here in Jerusalem were just common Christians. And they go out and they preach and great things happen. Then Acts 18:22 says these things came into the ears of the church in Jerusalem, or Acts 11:22 to 24. Then these things came into the ears of the churches in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And he went and he saw what was happening. He was glad, and it encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord. So that's what happened. As they'd scatter, they go everywhere preaching the word. Now later, as I mentioned in Acts 18:19 there, great things are happening. And later, beginning with Acts 18, there it said, and there came, here's Paul, he's going along, he's preaching on his journey, and he goes to Antioch, the Jews, Antioch of Pisidia, the Jews get all stirred up. He goes to the next city preaching, they follow him, and there they persecute him, drive him out. He goes to the next city. They finally catch him in Lystra. And there they stir up the people. the multitudes, and they stoned him. They thought they'd killed him. But as the disciples stood around about, he rose up and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they go to the next city and preach. And then, thanks. I've had two operations on my neck, and one of the nerves has been, the doctor says I have one vocal cord that's partially paralyzed, so, and then with a little bit of a allergy, I have a problem. So, they catch Paul as he's preaching, stone him to death, they thought. The next day, he rises, he goes to the next town, to Derbe, and it said when they had made many disciples, he goes back to Lystra, and then he goes back to Antioch, and he goes back to Iconium. He retraces his steps everywhere he's been, and he's encouraging those people to remain faithful to the Lord. And that's what he does everywhere he goes. You see, the early Christians thought the most important thing in the world was the gospel and people and raising up laborers. I remember Gene Moore telling me one time, Max, you don't just train a man to train a man to train a man. You train men to share the gospel. You train men to share. Now you can, and I've heard of people and you meet the guy for 19 years. Well, great. I know I've met with some people over a long period of time. But one of the things I want him doing is sharing the gospel. That's what Jesus wanted, this gospel to go to everyone in the world. And that's our job. Now, we try to share the word broadly as we hand out tracts, as we witness, as we do everything we possibly can to get the message out. But don't get discouraged sometimes when maybe only God leads you to work with one at a time, maybe that you're discipling. You know, in Luke 4:25, it's an interesting passage, the next three verses. It says, in the time of Elisha the prophet, there were many widows in Israel when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to one woman in Zarephath who was a widow. Now here's a great Elijah. There were many, many, many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. And yet God sent Elijah to one woman in Zarephath who was a widow. And then goes on to say, in the time of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, and yet only one, Naaman the Syrian, was healed. And you know, sometimes I walk on the campus of the University of Oklahoma, I see students that I've never seen before. I'll probably never see them again. It's so easy to walk on the campus with 28,000 people and see people, and you drive around Dallas and you see all these people. But let me ask you, are you willing to ask God to give you one to lead you to one someone in whose lives you can build? Now, Jesus didn't just have one. He had a team. He had several. Sometimes he met with 12. Sometimes he met with 5 or 6. Sometimes he met with one. And there are three things you see in the scriptures. There's the large group meetings, which are good for worship, good for proclaiming the word. There are a lot of things you can do. You can have a conference, encourage a lot of people. And I remember Leroy Iams saying one time, he said, if you were going to try to teach the quiet time, would you rather spend, if you had 100 people you wanted to teach about the quiet time, would you rather speak to 100 people or would you rather spend 1 hour each with 100 different people? He said, I'd rather speak to 100 people at one time. Get the most out of the time. Don't neglect what the scriptures emphasize and what you see so many times and what you can do with a large group. But also you see, and it's been really experienced here, the value of small groups sitting around a table. You want to always be a part of large group and small groups. Like some of you, I want to say to this, and I often tell college students, why don't you just make a decision once and for all where you'll be on Sunday morning? Some college students have to make that decision every Saturday night. I made that decision years ago. Sunday morning, I'll be in Sunday school and church. Well, what if I got in from a retreat and didn't get home till 3 o'clock that morning? That's not a problem. I'm going to be in Sunday school and church. I see the value, and don't you ever give up on the church. Paul didn't, and you read Corinth. In Corinth, things were bad. I met a fellow one day, and he said, I don't want my people to be in a church because I'm trying to disciple men. Sometimes that's just a that's just distraction. Well, you've got to train your men. We want to be a part of a large group. We want to be a part of small groups. Sometime God will lead you to minister to a small group. Sometime you'll have a group opportunity to minister to a large group. But we can all build deeply into the lives of a few that God gives us. And you pray and you look for people and see who God puts in your life. And you build deeply in their life. You know, you see this again and again in the scriptures, that God loves people, and he loves to take common, ordinary people. Now, in the Great Commission, I said the mandate, the only mandate in that verse is make disciples. The going, the baptizing, and the teaching are participles that in the Greek that modify that main thing to make disciples. In other words, the baptizing and the teaching and the going are the way we go about making disciples. And literally the word go, a better translation, is as you are going. As you are going, make disciples. Now, some of you here, you're single, and you're seeking the Lord's will for you. Well, probably the will of God is, one of these days, he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. So it's probably God's will someday for you to get married. And then it's probably God's will for you to have children. He's the one that said, be fruitful and multiply. So that's God's will for you. And then as you do those things, you make disciples. As you have kids, you try to teach them. You try to them share them with their, teach them how to share with their friends. I have a nephew, and he's taught his son. And the kid's now probably about to be a freshman in high school. He's already led a number of his friends to the Lord. And then your kids are involved in sports. And you go to the ball game. Well, you get to meet parents. See, it's as you're going. I think so many people, when they get the idea of disciple making, is you got to know all these verses. You got to do all this. It's as you're going. As you're going to the health club, you look for someone. Is there someone here you can witness to? Is there someone here you can help? And God has amazing things of putting us in different professions, different jobs, different locations. And you know, I think God loves laymen because he sure made a lot of them. And God loves to take common people. And see, you just think of all the people you'll be in contact with next week in your homes, your neighborhoods. And see, I've got people in our neighborhood we pray for. We're witnessing to this couple. We're witnessing to this one. Another day, or a few weeks ago, a couple walks by and they're walking their dog. I'm out in the yard, so I go get real close to the sidewalk so I can engage them in conversation and stop, begin to talk with them, ask them about their relationship to God. I found out that man was a Christian. A few days later, he's 75 and he died. And I'm so glad that I'd had a chance. And God put me in that neighborhood not only to live, but to try to do what I can to make disciples in that area, to help people come to know Christ and help people to grow. He put you on the job where you are. Maybe it's not just for you to make a living, but there are people on that job that God brought on that, put on that job for you to be a witness to. And so as we go, we make disciples. Now, there are times that we do intentional things in order to try to make disciples. You may go be a part of a certain area, a certain club, or certain place that you go there with the intent, I think here I'll have an opportunity to be a witness and to make disciples. But it's as you go. It's to be a lifestyle. Thing of making disciples is to just be your lifestyle. That's to be the most important thing in your life, is your relationship to God, being obedient to what he told you to do. And the command is to make disciples. Now, as you probably know, the last two things Jesus said on this earth, recorded in Matthew 28, make disciples. And the very last thing is in Acts 1, where he said, Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, all that Jewish area, Samaria, and that's where more of the Gentiles, the mixed breeds of the Jews and the Gentiles. And he said, and then to the ends of the earth, you are to be witnesses. And that's what he had in mind for us. That's what he tried to get over during the 40 days that he was on this earth after he rose from the dead. Guys, I've been with you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to witness. I want you to go to all the nations. Now, some will feel led to be missionaries. They'll go to a certain city because God sends them. But you as a layman sometime will go to a certain place because God sends you there. And he impresses on you, this is where I want you to go. And so we're going as he directs us. And we're going on my daily lifestyle. I'll look forward to Monday morning. I go walk. I don't go walk without taking some tracks. Fact is, I'm driving out of a neighborhood on Thursday. And I just driving out of this neighborhood where we spent the night with some friends. And there's some workers over there. And it's around noontime. And I see two guys laying out under the porch, just relaxing. I think, wait a minute. I said, Santa, I'm going to stop here. I'll be just a minute. I got some tracks in my pocket. I go give them to them. See, I'm just driving along, and I'm supposed to be, as I'm driving, I try to make disciples. As I go to eat, I try to make disciples. I always do this. I'll either say to this lady, hey, we're about to pray. Is there anything we can pray for you? And Thursday, before I left, I'm out here, or just before I left, I was with some guys, and we were having lunch. We began to talk with this lady. She had some real needs. And she says, I've got a little son. He's even at a young age thought about committing suicide. I said, can I give you a little booklet? Told her what it meant to me. I said, why don't you take this? Why don't you read it to him? And we gave her a, and by the way, when you leave a track, leave a good tip. And so we gave her a good tip and tried to encourage her. So if you go out to eat, you're not just going out to eat. Your commission all the time, all the time I'm trying to make disciples. That's ultimately why I am on this earth, to try to make disciples. To obey the other commands of Jesus, to love people, to do all the things he wants us to do, but we're to make disciples. And so I want to just challenge you. You think about this. Every aspect of your life, as you are going, Jesus said, now I've got all authority, all power, and I'm going to be with you. As you're going to work, I'm going to be with you. Now, the mandate is make disciples. Now, I'm aware, as I mentioned this morning, that on jobs in some places and with family sometimes, it's a long, long process. You have to use some wisdom. But wherever we go, we never lose sight of I'm here. I have a short time. You know, I'm 85. I don't know how much time I have left, but I know I don't have another 85. Okay? Time is short. You're here. Your reward for all eternity depends on what you do after you come to know Christ. Gang, let's give ourselves to the most important thing. Let's don't get bent out of shape on, well, it's so bad in our country. I mean, you read in the New Testament, it's always been bad. It's never been ideal. And when the government and people says you don't witness, you don't mention the name of Jesus, what do? We're going to mention the name of Jesus. And there are ways that we can do this. You can do it wisely. But don't forget, the mandate is clear. Make disciples. Now let me pray for us, and we'll get out of here, huh? Father, I thank you that you didn't just save us and leave us to wander down here aimlessly, wondering what we're supposed to do. Father, we need your wisdom, but we thank you that you promised it. All we have to do, you said, is ask for wisdom and you'll give it to us. We know we have the Lord Jesus Christ living within us. We know we have the power of your Spirit as we go out to try to make disciples. And Father, I pray that we'd leave this place. We would determine everywhere we go, we'll be witnessing. Father, we'd love to fill Dallas, where we could fill a city like this and all over this United States. And Father, we know we're at an age where more and more people are being raised. They know nothing about you. But Father, I pray that we could share with them. We could help them get on the road to becoming followers of yours, because we know this is what you desire. So Lord, would you send us from this place with a new passion for sharing the good news, with a new passion for building quality disciples, raising up men and women who will be out in the battle of sharing the good news, making disciples, getting more and more people that can share the message. Father, we thank you for that message that so changed our lives. Father, would you give us guidance as we leave here? Give us whatever we need to be as effective as we can be until we see you face to face. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okie doke. So, let's see. We're going to get three questions. We're going to get three questions up on the screen. And you're going to have your roundtable discussions. You're going to take 20 minutes to discuss these important questions of what is the great task Jesus gave us. You can read. Then, when we're done with that, we're going to get a brief word from a friend of mine, and then I'm going to close, and ask Jaime to pray for us. So that's the whole agenda. You're going to get out of here early because we like to deliver less than we promised. That's a good thing when it comes to being in one place at one time all the time. That's a good thing in this case. And so with that, table leaders, lead your tables. If a table leader vaporized and there's not one, then one of you step up to pet the pony and lead that table in these discussions, all right? Thank you. So I'm going to close this down, but I'm going to ask, I want to ask a question here in a minute about nations that are represented in this room. In other words, you know, people who were born in another country. Because Matthew 28, 18 through 20 does say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I can't believe it. When I moved to Dallas from Amarillo 38 years ago, this was not an international city, per se. I love what's happening. So the nations are here, and we're to disciple the nations who will then continue to disciple the nations. So we're in a very special time, and we want to make the most of it while we're in tall cotton, because we are. I want to thank some people for working so hard to make this possible for us here. The entire background Watermark staff and facility apparatus that is way back in the background that do so many big things and little things, and we're very grateful for them. I want to thank Garrett. And Garrett, are you still here? Yeah, Garrett's back there with his hand up just to say howdy. And Garrett is directs us from the staff standpoint. He leads us in the Equip Disciple ministry, and we're very grateful for Garrett. And we're grateful for Jenna. Jenna works behind the scenes and in front of the scenes and as administrative assistant. I never do get the name titles right, but I'll be rebuked later. But essentially, Jenna makes it happen, and I want to be thankful for Jenna. And where you have a yin, you have a yang, and that would be Amber. Amber Hopka makes it happen. And the audio and video, are you kidding me? Hey. We're not professionals, but we act like them on TV. So that's Deus and Wilson and Jaime. Jaime was translating or interpreting quietly back there so that our Spanish contingency could understand what Max and others are saying. So what a blessing is that. And then also I want to thank Charlie Ann and Angela, who toted books upon books from Oklahoma down south. If you get some books and tracts, then soak them in and pass it on. And then I want to thank Max and Sandra, who also came down from Oklahoma. Max, thank you for sharing with us. And Sandra leading a table on forgiveness is a big deal to God. What a deal. Love that. So I also want to thank all the leaders who prepared and prayed that they could lead a table and do well. And you did. And I want to, two things left, and then I'm going to ask someone to come and pray. Two things left. One is, I want to let you know, Equip Disciple, the classes will begin again on the Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. for the Wednesday groups on August the 31st. And then September 1st, we're going to start the Thursday evenings and also the ladies only, also on Thursday. And of course, the Spanish Equipped Disciple. You know, I absolutely, well, first of all, before I say that, If you want to sign up for Equip Disciple, listen, a good application of what has been taught here is to sign up for Equip Disciple, which is the Navigators 2-7 series. I would encourage you, if you live around here, to do it, because it will really help you to get started and help you to keep going and growing. And it's big time, and it's good, and people are turning closer to Jesus as a result of their time with him, and we get to be alongside. So it's a lot of fun. But I want to say, because I'm about to change over to the nations, what a joy for last 11 or 12 years to however long it's been. We started this Spanish, but when I say we started, it certainly wasn't me, because I don't speak very good Spanish. But we got that thing going, and my goodness, what a joy, because every Thursday night, on any given Thursday, you go up there, and if you get off the elevator on the second floor, ding, and you go to the left, you get the gringos, and if you go to the right, you get the Spanish, and they usually will have about 12 different countries represented in that room. Guatemala, guacamole, everywhere. I know, I'm trying to learn Spanish. Golly, give me a break. I'm working on it. And we just love doing stuff together. So we're not like, you're over here and we're over here. We do that, but we also do a ton of stuff together. And that's the way it ought to be, and we are having a ball. So, with that, I want to ask the room about what countries are represented in this room, meaning where you were born. Over on this side, we'll start over on this side. What country were you born in that was not the U.S.? What is it? Japan? Born in Japan? Where else? Brazil? You're born in both Brazil and Japan. Oh, you're over there. Wait, well, okay, where? India. It's not bad, we've got 3 out of 2. All right, where else? Anybody else? Say it. Where? Vietnam. Lovely. Fantastic. Say it. Oregon? Yes, that counts as another country. I assure you it counts as another country. What about you? Rwanda. Fantastic. Uganda. Beautiful. Nigeria. China. Cambodia. Texas. Yeah. The stampede is forming over in the other parking lot later. Okay. Any other countries represented here? Cameroon. Wait, Cameroon. Do we have anyone from French Guiana? No, not this time? Okay. Moment of silence. All right. How about this side? What countries? Yes. Ethiopia. Brazil. Guacamole. Yes. Istanbul. No, Cameroon. Yes. Laos. What? Venezuela. What else? Mexico. Yes. Where? Honduras. Where else? Oh, Wilfredo. Where? Venezuela. I love it. Where else? And there's multiples here, I'm sure. Did I get everybody? Guatemala. Wilson, you're from Guatemala, so you know. You know you are. What? Two from Russia? Is that right? What? Oh, but they were here. Okay, what'd you do to them? We might have to have another moment of silence. All right, is that it? Wait, where? Puerto Rico! Ah. That's fantastico. I love that. Where? El Salvador. We're growing. Is that it? Louisiana. Chuck Madden, Louisiana. Okay, so the water's getting a little more shallow as we go. Okay, I think that's it. I think that's it. Folks, here's what this, We got Singapore? Oh, yay. I'm glad Singapore's here. All right, y'all, we have the nations among us. We need to fellowship with one another. We need to grow in Christ with each other. We need to be equipped to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel. We need to be disciples. We need to make disciples. And then we need to export it to these countries of origin with people that we still know in these countries that are still out there. You can Zoom with them. You can visit them, whatever it takes. We got to get the gospel out. The thing that the enemy fears the most is the success of the Great Commission. Because we know from Romans 11 that once it's all taken care of, everybody's in, it's game over for them. It's game over. The fullness of the Gentiles. Is that what it is? Of the Gentiles, right? Yes, thank you. I thought so. It sounded funny when I said it. But, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we need to continue on. Oh, thanks for, see, she knew that would bother me later. Did you include us? Okay, this is good. Y'all, just so you know, there's 21 countries represented in this room. That's a lot of countries. Man, that's exciting. So win, lose, or draw, let's be and make disciples. Let's be about depopulating hell and populating heaven. Let's be about helping to fulfill the Great Commission so we can get this show on the road to the end time. You know what I'm saying? And with that, I'm going to hand it over to my dear friend, my good friend. I'm just going to talk till he gets here. The sweetest guy I know. His name is Jaime Rodriguez. And Jaime directs, yes. Jaime and Elena, they came to Watermark, and Jaime was like, what's going on with all this? And he goes to meet with the Believe team, and an equipped disciple graduate named Michael Galvis shared the gospel with him, and what do you know? And is he bearing fruit? I would say so, and Michael Galvis gets a fraction of the action. And with that, I hand it over to Jaime to pray us out.
Thank you, Bill. Alabado Señor, te damos gracias, Padre, porque eres tan bueno, Señor, eres nuestro Dios. Y porque esta tarde, Padre, nos has dado un tiempo maravilloso, aprendiendo de tu palabra, Señor, porque tú nos has comisionado, Señor, a ser discípulos. Y esta tarde a través de todo el día hemos aprendido, Señor, diferentes técnicas para que nosotros podamos cumplir esa gran comisión que tú nos has encomendado, Señor. Te ruego, te pido, Padre, que ese conocimiento que hemos obtenido en nuestra mente se pase a nuestro corazón, Señor, y que se vuelva una acción para que nosotros podamos cumplir esa comisión que tú nos has dado de hacer discípulos. Te pido, Padre, que todas las personas que atendieron, a los líderes que fielmente se prepararon, los bendiga, Señor, que le sigas dando ese conocimiento y los que aprendimos un poco, Señor, que lo pongamos en práctica. Señor, te agradezco tanto. Y te oro en el nombre de Jesús. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given us today to learn the different techniques, different manners so we can fulfill what you have given us to do, and it is make disciples. Let us, Lord, not only to keep what we have learned in our brains, but to let it go to our heart and to convert it into an action so we can fulfill that commission that you have given us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for the people that faithfully prepared the topics and the tables and all the conversations that were about today. I would ask you, Lord, to keep it guiding us so we can keep making disciples and to fulfill that great commission that you have given us. Thank you so much for today, for the blessings, and I would ask for that you, Lord, would keep the light on the people, in your people. Thank you so much, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.